this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
We have been given the privilege and the responsibility of taking the truth of God's Word and sharing it around this world. We've been given that freedom by those who have given their life so that we can have that freedom, and we need to carry the torch. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Our theme this the theme of this series of messages is Beyond These Walls. As we look forward to our missions conference, we need to have a vision that looks beyond these walls, where we are looking to carry the torch of Jesus Christ, the truth of God's message, around the world. Today, I'm preaching specifically on the topic, sacrificing beyond these walls. We need to be willing to be men and women who follow the examples of others and sacrifice. The Bible tells us very clearly in this passage of Scripture that Jesus Christ is speaking to His disciples. In fact, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 18, let's just read the story together. It says that it came to pass, as He was praying, His disciples were with Him, and He asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" Who do people say that Jesus is? And they answering said, "John the Baptist." They were confused. And some, Elijah. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. As in our day, in their day, they were confused about who Jesus was. The world says about Jesus, "Oh, He was a good teacher. Oh, He was a good prophet. Oh, He was a good man." They're confused about who He was. Some thought that it was Elijah come back, and that some thought he was John the Baptist. The Bible says in verse 20, He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am? Who do you know that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." They recognized that He was not just a good prophet, that He was not just a good teacher, that He was not just the Son of God, but He was the Christ of God. The Christ that Isaiah spoke about. When Isaiah said the Christ was coming, Isaiah said that He would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah said about Him that He would be Emmanuel, God with us. They recognized that this one was God in human flesh, that He was there to present the truth of God. Unlike any other being that ever lived, this is the manifestation of God. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Then the Bible says He straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Don't tell anyone this. And here's why. We're going to look at that reason why in just a minute. Before we do, let's pray and ask God to bless the message. Lord, thank You for Your truth. Help us to take the truth that's in this passage of Scripture now and live it and apply it. Father, let us not be those who just hear about sacrifice, but help us to be those who live and practice the sacrificial life. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "You know who I am. You know who I am, but I don't want you to say anything, because," in verse 22, "the Son of Man," He says, talking about Himself, "must suffer many things. And He must be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be slain. I'm going to give Myself to die and be raised the third day." And He said to them, That's not the end. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Don't just hear what I'm going to do and see what I'm going to do. I want you to follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose his own self or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. God's word is very clear. Jesus said, I am about to give my life, and I want you to be willing to give your life as well. The word is sacrifice. God wants us to sacrifice. Sacrifice beyond these walls. Sacrifice for others. Be willing to get out of our comfort zone and reach out and do something noble for Him. God wants us to surrender to Him. The dictionary definition of sacrifice is the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or pressing claim. That taking that which is valuable, that which is important, that which is excellent, and giving it for the sake of something greater, sacrifice. Today I want to talk to you about three areas of sacrifice that we learn here in the Word of God. The first we have already seen an example of, the sacrifice of the soldier. On Memorial Day, we honor men and women who have been willing to sacrifice themselves for a higher cause, for the sake of our country. I want you to know that God honors soldiers. God has ordained soldiers. In fact, God has called, and the Word of God declares that those who serve to protect our country are actually ministers of God. In Romans chapter 13 and verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That is, God has ordained civil government. God has ordained those that are in authority. Then he says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now listen, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. This servant who carries the sword is a minister of God for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. This passage goes on to say in verse 7, render therefore to all their due, honor to whom honor is due. God honors those who protect his people. God honors those who are in authority and those who support authority. God honors those who are willing to lay down their life to protect others. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Throughout the Bible, we read story of soldier after soldier after soldier. The story of Joshua, the general of Israel, who led the invasion into Palestine and destroyed the city of Jericho and Ai and led that invasion. God honors him as a great soldier and as a great man of God, one ordained of God to battle. Samson, he was a great leader, a great judge in Israel, who was a soldier fighting for the cause of Israel. Samson, in his final act of defiance against the Philistines, took his own life to protect the people of God, and God honored him. God wants us to understand that the sacrifice of the soldier, and God wants us to honor the soldier because of what he has done, and we do that today. I want you to see a second sacrifice that Jesus speaks about here in this passage. That is the sacrifice of our Savior. The sacrifice of our Savior. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ went to the cross. He suffered and died to pay the penalty of our sin. But let's see where he started. Here's what the Bible says about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This is Isaiah writing. King Uzziah was his king. King Uzziah was his friend. King Uzziah was someone he looked to, but the king of his nation, the nation of Israel, had died. And so the Bible says, Isaiah speaking, said in the year that King Uzziah died, that's a horrible thing. He said, when he died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. That is, he looked beyond and he said, wait, even though the king is dead, God is still on the throne. He said, I saw the Lord, that is Jesus Christ, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The Bible tells us that these holy angels, when in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you read the word Lord in the Old Testament, and it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the proper name, Jehovah. Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. So Jesus is there sitting upon his throne. He is so holy. He is the magnificent God. He is the one who everyone adores. The holy angels, the Bible says, in his presence, because he is so holy, the holy angels in his presence cannot bear to look upon him. They cover. They have three sets of wings. With twain, they cover their face, the Bible says. With two of them, they cover their face. With two of them, they cover their legs. And with two, they fly. And the only thing they can say in the presence, in the throne room of God, in the throne room of Jesus Christ, the only thing they can say is, holy, holy, holy. Jesus dwelt in heaven, but he didn't just dwell there. He ruled in heaven. He ruled as king in heaven. Yet he looked down at us. We were sinners. We've all sinned. We've all done wrong. Because of our sin, none of us deserve to go to heaven. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. What we've earned for our sin is spiritual death, separation from God forever in a place called hell. God loves us, and he doesn't want us to have to pay for our own sin. The Bible says what you've earned for your sin, what I've earned for my sin, is spiritual death, separation from God forever, an inability to communicate with heaven. But God loves us. And God doesn't want you and God doesn't want me to go to hell. So the Bible tells us that there was only one remedy. Because God is just, he can't allow sin to be unpaid for. But because God is loving, he didn't want you and I to have to pay for our own sin. So God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And God, as a man, suffered and died an agonizing death to pay for our sin in our place. The Bible says he was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, having paid for our sin. He paid for our sin. He was seen by hundreds of people. This people say, well, this is just a myth. I want you to understand. The New Testament was written by eyewitnesses who did not believe that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They were unbelievers. A lady named Mary went to the grave and saw that Jesus had risen from the dead. They came back to the disciples and said to the disciples, Jesus is risen. And they said, she's crazy. She's lost her mind. This book was written by people who were unbelievers. They did not believe that Jesus could rise from the dead. 3 days had gone by. 3 nights had gone by. And now he's alive. They saw him. When they saw him, they were willing to give their life to testify to the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. I want you to know, people don't willingly die for something that they know is a lie. They saw Jesus alive and they wrote the New Testament as eyewitnesses to his resurrection. And that eyewitness account has stayed with us for the last 2,000 years. Though people have tried to destroy it and people have tried to wipe it out, it is still here. The sacrifice of the Savior. This is God in human flesh who came, whose glory filled the whole earth. The Bible says he came and was born as a virgin, as a baby in a manger. The Bible says this, that he was willing to die. Now, why would he do that? Here's why. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Here's why. He knew that our sin had to be paid for. He knew that man had sinned, and so man had to pay for it. So God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, came to this earth, suffered and died and was buried and rose from the dead, was seen by hundreds of people, and went back to heaven. He did that so we wouldn't have to pay for our own sin. He paid for our sin in our place. But he requires one thing. He requires, once we understand that there's nothing we can do. It's not, we're not going to get to heaven by being baptized or get to heaven by going to church or by being good or by being a particular religion. Once we realize that and we come to him and we can say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. We have to just admit our sin. God, I admit that my sin is sin, whatever it is. I admit my sin is sin and I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I do believe that you suffered and you died and you paid for my sin. And I'm calling on you and I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior and my God. I'm putting my faith and trust in you and I'm asking you to take me to heaven. He came to this earth. He suffered. He died. He paid for our sin. He sacrificed it all so that you and I could come to him and ask him for eternal life and trust only him to take us to heaven. That's why Jesus came. He came for us. And the Bible tells us the only way I can get to heaven is by receiving what he did. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's not my goodness. It's not my church membership. It's nothing, none of those things. I have to personally come to Jesus, say, yes, Jesus. I have to have that personal conversation with him. Yes, Jesus, I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. You died for me. And I believe that, and I believe you rose from the dead. I'm asking you to give me eternal life. The Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It goes on to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have to personally call on Jesus and ask him to give me eternal life. Then I can become a child of God. Whether I'm religious or not has nothing to do with it. I have to personally come to Jesus and have that relationship with him, ask him to give me eternal life, and he'll give it to me. That's the sacrifice of the Savior. The Savior suffered and died to give me eternal life so that I can become his child through receiving him. So we've seen the sacrifice of the soldier. We see the sacrifice of the Savior. I want you to see, lastly, the sacrifice of the saint. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, look, in verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the priests and the scribes and be slain and raised and be raised the third day. But he goes to them and he says, now, I want you to understand what I expect of you. And he said to all of them, to them all, not just to a few, but all of them, if any man will come after me. That is, if you're going to be my disciple, let him deny himself. Just like I'm denying myself, just like I'm willing to sacrifice myself, I want you to sacrifice yourself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He says, I want you to be willing, number one, to deny yourself. I want you to be willing to say no to your fleshly desires. I want you to say no to your dreams and your ambitions. I want you to say no because there's something that is greater than you. Jesus said, I'm leaving. I've left heaven. I've came to this earth. I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die and I'm going to give myself for you so that you can have eternal life. I want you to give your life so that other people can have eternal life. You see, outside of these walls, beyond these walls, people are dying and going to hell. They don't know about Jesus Christ. They don't know that he suffered and died for them. They don't know what he has done. And he doesn't want us to look out there and condemn them for their sin. He wants us to go out there and say, hey, Jesus died for you. He wants us to live our lives totally and completely sold out to reach others. He wants us to earn what he has done for us. Go out and tell people what he's done for us. To share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to deny yourself. He said, I want you to take up your cross. I want you to take up your cross. Now listen, they knew what a cross was. They understood what the cross was all about. You could go around Jerusalem and you could see crosses where people had suffered the most agonizing death that you could suffer. They knew when he said, take up your cross, he was saying, you do whatever you need to do. In order to follow me, the idea of the cross is simply your responsibility. What is it that God has called you to do? What is it that God wants you to do? God wants you to be faithful. Take your responsibilities. Tell other people about him. Witness and send other people beyond these walls. We need to give the gospel. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful to take the responsibility that God has taken us. And we need not excuse it away and say, well, I just can't. You don't understand. I'm too busy. No, Jesus gave himself for us. Jesus wants us to take up our cross, take up the responsibility he's given us and live that life for him. Jesus wants us to follow him. He says, take up your cross and follow me. That is, put obedience to God first in my life. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to live for others, not myself. We are so selfish. We're so self-centered. We live in a culture that says it's all about me. It's all about me. But Jesus wants us to understand that everything that we have, every material possession that we gather, everything that we gather to ourselves, our reputations, our material things, our cars, our houses, our money, it's all temporary. It's all going to burn up one day. It's all going to be over. But our eternal life is not. And there are going to be people, there are people in this world that we need to reach and tell them about what is real and live what is real before them. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to give the gospel. We need to tell other people about Jesus Christ. I was in Sunday school this morning and one of our Sunday school, a person in our Sunday school said, hey, I was at Walmart the other day. I was in Walmart and I was trying to pick out a greeting card. And in the greeting card, as I was picking up different greeting cards, one of these tracts fell out. One of your gospel tracts fell out. And I said, that's a great idea. That's a good idea. I don't know who did that, and I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you not to, but I'm saying, man, that's the greatest greeting in the world, that you can know you're going to heaven, to tell people you can know you're going to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. I this past week was sitting in a restaurant, and a lady came up, and she began to serve us. I said, hey, can I give you something really, really good? She said, what's that? I said, this is something I wrote. I went to church all my life. I went to church all my life, and nobody ever told me that I could know for sure I was going to heaven. And I said, when I found out what the Bible says, I wrote this so anybody could know what the Bible says about how you can know you're going to heaven. Would you like that? And you know what she said? Get out of here. She didn't say that. She said, thank you so much. That is so kind. That is so nice. Thank you. And she took that thing. I want you to understand, people want to know they're going to heaven. Jesus wants us to follow him and tell other people how they can know they're going to heaven. Jesus wants us next to give up our lives for the gospel. Oh, does he really want that? Is that what he demands? Here's what he says. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he will gain the whole world and lose his own self or be cast away? God wants us to take our dreams and say they're yours, God. You do with them what you want. God wants us to take our goals and say they're yours. God wants us to exchange our life for his. God, you live your life. You gave me eternal life, so I get to go to heaven. So while I'm on this planet, you use me any way you want me to. Jim Elliot, a man who gave his life to give the gospel back in the 1950s, he said this. He said, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Eternal life. The obvious blessing of God on your life. Jesus wants us to give up our lives to share the gospel. Lastly, Jesus wants us to be obedient or not to be ashamed of him. Jesus wants us not to be ashamed of him. He says in verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Jesus wants you to share him willingly and openly. I was sitting at a table one day at a restaurant. Our children were all small. We were sitting around the table and we did what we always do. We bowed our heads when we got the food. And we always, when we go to a buffet, we were at a buffet that day. When we go to the buffet, I always say, let's pray before we go to the buffet. Because I know they're going to mess around at the buffet. I'm going to get my food and I'm going to eat it. And so we pray before we go to the buffet because they're going to mess around. I'm going to get my food. And if I have to wait for them, I have to have that food sitting in front of me and look at it. And they're going to go up there and they'll be playing around and getting drinks and doing that. And I want to get down to some serious eating. Can you say amen to that? That's good stuff. So I said, let's get around the table and let's pray. And so we sat down and we prayed for the food. And when I opened my eyes, there was a dollar bill in front of me. I thought, what's that? And that was a dollar bill. I'm a Baptist preacher. I took it, and I thought, what's the deal here? So I'm looking around, and pretty soon a guy walked up to me after everybody got their meals and we were all sitting down. He said, did you get your dollar? I said, yeah. What's that? He said, I just love it when I see somebody that's not ashamed of the gospel, and when you'll bow your head in a public place and pray for your food. I said, oh, we do that all the time. He said, oh, that's wonderful. I just think that's great. And he said, I just wanted to tip you for doing that. I said, where are you going to be next week? Jesus wants us not to be ashamed of the gospel. We ought to tell people, everyone, about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that sacrifice is a real thing. God honors us. God honors the soldier because the soldier is willing to sacrifice his life to protect the people and to protect that which is honorable. We honor the soldier today because John Lukacs gave his life so that we could have the freedoms. He gave his life so that we could have the freedom to worship, as John Ensign said this morning. He gave his life so that we could have the freedom to worship. And if someone's willing to do that, Jesus gave his life so that we can have eternal life. Jesus says, look, I want you to give your life to tell other people what I've done for them. If someone has given their life, given their all, so that we can have the freedom to proclaim the gospel, then we have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel. Let's be faithful to take the gospel beyond these walls. Let's tell everybody we can personally about Jesus Christ. Let's take the gospel message out and hand it out in tracts. Let's get involved in missions and send missionaries where we cannot personally go. And let's reach the world beyond these walls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, help us. Help us not just to hear, but to be willing to do. I pray, Father, that each member of Liberty Baptist Church will be touched. I pray if there's someone here that's not sure they're saved, that they'll get saved today. I pray that your gospel message was clear, and that if anyone is here that doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven, that before they leave here, they'll put their faith and trust in you, and they'll know they're going to heaven because of what you did for them. I pray, Father, for every member of Liberty Baptist Church. Help us to understand that you want us to give ourselves totally and completely for you, because you've given yourself totally and completely for us. Help us to take advantage of the freedoms we have, to use those freedoms to share the gospel everywhere. Fill us, Father, and use us. Father, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that before they leave here today, they'll put their faith and trust in you. Lord Jesus, I ask this in your name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.